In Matthew 6, which talks to us about praying, amongst many other things, as part of the Sermon on the Mount, it says, this is how you should pray: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And a little bit later in Matthew 6, I'm just going to read a few verses. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And then over in verse 25 of Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So we're thinking today about this part of the Lord's Prayer which says, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Just need to keep remembering there's a step down there. So anyone want to tell me what their favorite breakfast food is? What they like having for breakfast? Marmalade was that it? Marmalade, I think? Oh. Cocoa Pops.
Toast.
Is that working, that one? No, you're right. Cocoa Pops was the first one. Toast was the second one. Do you want to go again?
Toast.
Did you? It is on.
Carry on.
I'll just carry on. I'll just repeat what anyone says. Yep. Shreddies. Yes? Porridge. Do you like proper porridge? Not instant porridge, porridge that you like, proper oats that you spend quite a long time doing. Oh, really nice, especially in the winter, isn't it? Very healthy as well. One of the most healthy things for breakfast, I think. Unless you have like piles of honey on it and stuff like that. Boring. That's really nice porridge.
Porridge?
Yeah. Porridge is really nice, especially done with nice milk. And maple syrup. Maple syrup is sensational. I've discovered it recently. It's better than all the other syrups put together. Anyone else want to tell me what they like for breakfast? Because you might have an idea. What do you have for breakfast? What do you have for breakfast? You don't know. Okay. Some of you don't eat breakfast, which is quite scandalous. I'll just do a couple more, and then that'll be it. Here we are. Oh, yeah.
Pancakes.
Pancakes. Do you have pancakes often? I'm coming around your house.
Cornflakes.
Cornflakes. Okay, I'm just going to do one more. I'll do two more.
Egg.
Egg. Oh, yeah, I like a bit of egg.
Waffles.
Waffles. Oh, yeah. Very healthy waffles.
Frosties.
Frosties. Oh, well. Well, that's how many of us start the day. That's what's our kind of daily beginning. Mine, good question. I get very excited about breakfast. Some kind of muesli cereal or porridge is my ideal start. If I'm having a luxury day, it would be cereal and toast. But that's not very often that happens. Toast with marmalade, one with Bovril, one with marmalade. That's like the ideal. And actually, although brown bread is good and healthy and stuff, white bread's quite nice toasted, isn't it? Some of the nicest things. Yeah, so we all like our food, and many of us have quite a lot of the same food quite a lot of the time. And although quite a lot of you have cereal, it's kind of similar-ish to the daily bread that Jesus is talking about, because it's a kind of an everyday thing that actually happens to be made of similar stuff, made of stuff that grows in the ground, a corn of some sort. And for people around Jesus' time, the bread they ate was similar-ish to our bread. It would have been flat. I read somewhere it was described as about the width of a thumb, the depth of a thumb, that is, if you know what I mean. So it was pretty flat, not absolutely flat like kind of flatbreads, but baked and fairly narrow. And that would be what most people ate every day of their lives, sometimes all that people ate, sometimes fish and other things, as we know from other things in the Bible. So this is a prayer, first of all, for food. It's a prayer for food. Here we go. Got those the wrong way around. Never mind, you can see the whole thing. It's first of all, and first and foremost, it's a prayer for bread. It's a prayer for food. Jesus says, pray for the food that you want every day. Pray for the basic food that you want every day. And he's not just really saying, pray for bread, but don't pray for anything else. He's saying, pray for God to give you the everyday things that you need every day. So there are other things that we need as well as bread every day to sort of make life work. What other sort of things might we need every day to make life work so we can survive and stay alive? Anybody know? What were you going to say, George? No?
God.
Well, we need God, definitely, yeah.
Water.
Yeah, we need some water every day. Otherwise, we would die very quickly without water. Anyone else have other things that we might need?
Food.
Not just food, but yeah, there could be other food things that we need. What else might we need every day in order to survive? Oh, go down the front, there's a bit more going on down there. In order to be able to live comfortably, yep.
Energy.
We need energy. Do you mean energy like energy coming to our houses, or do you mean energy in ourselves? Or both? Both. Okay, an easy option there. Yep.
Fruit and vegetables.
Fruit and vegetables. What about stuff that isn't food?
Clothes.
Clothes, yes, perfect. Some of the other things that... Yeah. Air was a good one, yep, Ben.
Vitamins.
Vitamins, yep. Do you want to shout just to save me? Pardon? Tablets. As in tablets, computers. Tablets to eat. Okay, medicines, yes?
Somewhere to live.
Somewhere to live, yeah. You've ticked all the main boxes that were in my head anyway. We need food, we need drink, we need medicines. We need somewhere to live, and we need water that we mentioned, and we need clothes to wear. And those were some of the things that Jesus was talking about a little bit after he teaches them about the prayer. And he says, God can provide you with all of those basic things that you need. And we could think about other things like families to care for us. When we're small, when we're little, we don't just need food and clothes and just to get on with life on our own. We need people to care for us and protect us. So when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're praying for food and clothes and water and houses, but we're also praying for our families. We're praying for a country that helps us, that gives us electricity and gas and water coming through the pipes to us and taking the nasty stuff away from us. And we're kind of also praying for everyday things like many of us, most of us perhaps have cars or bicycles to get around in. Some of us might use buses and even aeroplanes. So it's first of all a prayer for food. But the second thing about it is that it is particularly a prayer for what we need. See, part of the meaning of the idea of daily bread. It's to do with daily, which we'll think about in a minute, but the meaning of the word is also to do with not asking for absolutely everything. You see, God's not like a, a real-life version of Father Christmas, that we just pray for absolutely everything that we want. We might want an Xbox One. Is Xbox One the latest Xbox? Or is there one beyond that? It's two. Is there an Xbox Two? Oh, okay. Xbox, we might want an Xbox One. Do you know, you all look completely flat, so obviously just pitch something that no one has any interest in at all. You might want a swimming pool in your back garden. I do. You might want a box seat at Chelsea Football Club. Many of you would want that. I was... my family told me not to talk about this, but I will anyway. I was listening on a phone-in about baldness this week, and I was travelling somewhere. It's on Radio 5. It's because John Travolta sort of came out as bald this week. And why it was fascinating to me was that it made me think about how we might make distinctions between luxury items and essential items. So we might think that washing our hair or dyeing our hair or curling our hair is an essential item, but transplanting our hair, that will be considered a luxury item, would it? And just even in kind of starting to think about that and kind of discuss it, made me think, apart from the fact that I would like it, you know, I wasn't psychologically sort of damaged at all, but these people were phoning in this phone-in and saying how they'd completely lost confidence since they lost their hair and, you know, couldn't go out and all that kind of thing. So it did make me think about, we need to be very careful in making distinctions between what's luxury and what's everyday. But however you draw the line, whether it's below having hair transplant or above it, wherever you draw the line, there is something in this prayer that's saying, don't demand or expect from God a kind of a luxurious lifestyle. Because probably if you're asking for those things, and especially if you're asking for them a lot, it means that you're seeking those things as a priority. So if God gives you the right money and the right climate, and you can build a swimming pool in your back garden, I'm not saying that's such a luxury item you shouldn't do it, or have the car that you've always wanted, you've been kind of looking forward to all your life. Maybe God, if God provides you with that money to be able to do that, and you're providing in lots of other ways, maybe it's the right thing to do that. But if that's what you're praying for, that's probably what you're really longing for and seeking, and that's not what Jesus wants us to do. That's against what he says, because he says we need to seek first his kingdom, and we'll think about that in just a moment. What kind of house, what kind of car, what kind of lifestyle are any of you seeking, whether you're children or adults? It's quite a challenge to that. It's a prayer for our basic needs. What else? It's a prayer for every day. It's a prayer for every day. And we're going to think about dependence and daily dependence. Now, I need a little bit of help with this now. So I need lots of volunteers, kind of one by one. And I'll try and be fair about it all. But I want you to think about... Let me just move this a little bit. See if I can spill the water like I normally do. I want you to think about where a loaf of bread came from. Do you know what? I remembered everything else, but I forgot to bring any bread with me. So I brought all the other things in between. So just imagine there's a loaf of bread here. So in your house, where does the loaf of bread come from? Yes? Joshua?
Sainsbury's.
Comes from where?
Sainsbury's.
Sainsbury's, that's pretty good. Probably as children, who gives you your bread? Yes? No, go back after the shop. We'll do the shop in a minute, before the shop. Maybe mummy and daddy give? Yes? Do you want to come up, Violet, and be a mummy? This Monopoly lady will be saying, no, daddies give food as well. Yes, I know daddies give food as well. Daddies often provide breakfast. So, just imagine there's a loaf of bread here. So where did the loaf of bread come from? Well, it comes often in our houses from our mummies and daddies. And then the answer that you gave already about where it comes from, I need to find a man shopkeeper. Who wants to be a man shopkeeper? Yes. So our mummies and daddies, or maybe us with them, get the bread from a shop. And if you put this on, you can be a kind of a shopkeeper. It's all I had at home. But like a shopkeeper, more like a shopkeeper in a delicatessen. So you're in the posh part of Sainsbury's where it's all kind of, the bread's all warm and you can get it sliced and all that kind of stuff. So the loaf of bread, it comes from our mummies and daddies who probably buy it from the shop. And where does the shop buy it from? It's probably a few stages in between, but roughly where does the shop buy the ingredients from to make the bread? Yes? A farm, yes. Do you want to come up and be a farmer? Everyone who answers the question, I'm afraid. And you're absolutely perfect for that job. Can you just slip your shoes off? Can you slip your shoes off on the way? Well, when you get here. I thought I'd sum up a farmer with some quality Wellington boots, which I didn't clean before I came. So if you want to slip your feet into those. So, the mother or father gets it from the shopkeeper, who, in case of Sainsbury's, bakes it on the premises, and gets some of the ingredients from the farmer. And where does the farmer get the stuff that he's giving to the shopkeeper? I think we'll have a lady answering. I'm now paranoid about this gender thing. Yes, Grace. Yes? Well, God or Jesus, but kind of on the way to God or Jesus. Okay, Oakley. Yeah, the person who makes the flower. That'll be perfect. If you want to come this way. You don't have to dress up in anything for this one. So we've got a bit of flour. Could you go left a bit, Violet? Perfect, and all of you. There we are. There's some flour. The packet's open. It's a health and safety nightmare if it gets dropped. And finally, where does the flour come from? Yes, Jasmine. Because you're so eager, yeah? Yeah, it comes from the wheat. Do you want to come up and have some wheat? Don't tell all the grown-ups it's not exactly wheat, but it's almost wheat. There we go. Just put some in your hand. And how does the wheat grow? Yes. It grows in the ground. And who makes it grow in the ground? God. Because God sends the sun and the rain. Do you two want to come up? And you can be the sun and the rain over here. You can be a little bit lower. But just stand here and look like sun and rain in some way or other. Sun would be like this, I suppose, and the rain would be like that. And when we pray, give us today our daily bread, it might be hard for us because we think, well, I've got bread in my cupboard, or my mummy and daddy are always giving me bread, and so I don't need to think about that really. But when we pray, we're praying realizing that we depend on God for everything, but even for a loaf of bread. We depend on our mummies and daddies to provide it for us, and the shopkeeper, and the farmer, and the person who gives the flour. I did that the wrong way around, didn't I, actually? We swapped those two round. Who makes the flour, and I just went with the flow. So the farmer who makes the stuff, and the seeds in the ground that grow, and the sun, and the rain that God sends. And that will be true for absolutely everything that we have, both the everyday things and the special things that God gives us, that they all come from God. And when we pray, give us today our daily bread, we're saying we depend on you, God, for absolutely everything. And we trace the source, the origin, where it all comes from, right back to God. Thank you very much, guys. If you want to take off whatever you've got and carefully give back whatever you've got, that would be wonderful. Thank you. Thanks.
This internet connection isn't stable at the moment.
Cool. So it's a prayer for every day that helps us think about dependence, but it also helps us think about daily dependence. It makes us realize not just that we depend on God for everything, but we depend on God absolutely every day. Every day we depend on God. God actually doesn't ask us to give everything that we need for the whole of our lives all in one big lump and just say, get on with it. He asks us to pray every day that he would give us things, so every day we remember that we depend on him and realize that everything we have comes from him. And there's a really good reminder of that in something that happened in the Old Testament in the lives of the people of Israel, God's people in the Old Testament. If you remember, God called his people from slavery, and they traveled with a leader called Moses, and he led them out of Egypt and towards the Promised Land in the Middle East, what became the land of Israel. And on the way there, God gave them special food to eat every day. Anyone remember what the special food was called? Yes? Someone? Yeah, Josh? Manna, it was manna. And if you remember that every morning, sorry, I'm not going to do that like that. Every morning, apart from Saturday, which we'll think about in a minute, but every day they were to collect enough for just that day. Now, a couple of volunteers. Yep. And who? Joshua. Joshua, do you want to come and help then? And anyone in the back who's been missed out? Jasmine, you've done one. Yes, Noah. Yeah, three of you, that'd be fine. So for the Israelites, every morning they came out and they looked and there was this stuff called manna. And what God said for them to do was to collect just enough for them and their family for that day. So if Joshua had a family of about three people, do you want to pick up three of them? And then if Noah, you had a family of five, so you'd pick up five of them. Pardon? I know you do have a family of five. I sort of did that, and then I thought, well, I didn't choose the right family length for Joshua because I wasn't thinking about that then, but now I've started thinking about it.
I have loads of family.
You have loads of family, yeah. Maybe we should give you a couple more, maybe three more. There we are. So you've got enough perfectly for all of your family. And that's how much they were supposed to collect, even though there was a bit more there, actually. So Joel could have come along and said, Josh, sorry, could have come along and said, thank you, that I want everything. So if you want to just try and collect all of them up. And God says, you can do that, but it's not going to work out very well for you. So what happened is these guys went home and they gave it to their families and they ate it that day and that was fine. And probably Joshua went home and gave it to his family, but he had lots left over. And we read in the Bible that what happened was the stuff they ate, that was fine, but all the rest that he took to his house, it all just went rotten and horrible. Didn't last overnight, except on a special day, on the Friday, because they had the Saturday as their special day, so it lasted an extra day. But apart from that, they were only to collect exactly how much they needed for each day, and if they were greedy and tried to get more, actually, God made it go bad in their houses, and it was a very horrible experience for them. Thank you very much. Let me just move these out of the way. You can sit down now. Do that. Thank you, Josh. Brilliant. Thank you. There we go. If anyone wants to count them later, there were 30 to find. You see, for those people and for us, we're supposed to pray, give us our daily bread every day, because it helps us to remember every day that we depend on God. And the problem is that we can really easily forget that we depend on God for everything. And it's really helpful to remember in this prayer that we do depend on him. So we ask him for every day. And we keep asking him. And even if we've got a big loaf of bread in our house, and maybe we don't every day have to go and buy a new loaf of bread, we remember every day that we depend on God, and we never forget that we depend on God for absolutely everything. So, it's a prayer for bread, for food, and all the things that we need to live every day. It's a prayer for our needs, not so much for all the extra special things that God might give us, but it's really a prayer for our daily needs. It's a prayer where we say that we depend on God. That's why we're asking him. And it's a prayer where we say we daily depend on God, that we keep remembering that we depend on God. But the last thing to think about is that it's a prayer that kind of stretches forward and thinks about the ultimate, the absolute most wonderful provision that God makes for us, the most wonderful thing that God gives to us. You see, in the words that are used about give us today our daily bread, actually the actual words that are used have an idea of stretching forward about maybe give us faith today for bread for tomorrow, something like that. And in that, there's a kind of stretch beyond just bread and milk and water and all those things. There's a kind of stretch that God will provide even more than that. That God will provide us with something that would satisfy us forever. You see, that manna that we just kind of thought about, that special food that God provided in the desert, it was God providing for them food every day. But actually, when Jesus comes, he says, well, that was good. That was God providing every day food. But actually, now I've come. I'm the real manna that came from heaven. I'm the real provision that God gives to his people, which isn't just about bread, and it isn't really completely, actually bread at all. It's the giving of Jesus himself to pay for our sins, to live a perfect life, to die a death on our behalf, to rise again, and to give us complete satisfaction, better than the best meal that we will ever eat, better than the best luxury we will ever enjoy, satisfaction of knowing God and being with God. And, you know, thinking about that helps us because sometimes, not for many of us and not very often, but sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer perhaps in the way we expect about daily bread. There are people in the world who are hungry, even people who have prayed this prayer. And so the way God answers this prayer is generally he does provide for our needs and he promises to do that. But there are times when those needs are not met fully. And it's really good then to remember that the way God does completely answer this prayer is by sending his son, the bread that came from heaven, the bread of life. So actually, whenever you pray this prayer, you're thinking about God providing for you every day, but you're also thinking, in the end, what I need is the bread that comes from heaven, which is Jesus, and it's only Jesus who will give me eternal life and who will completely satisfy me. It's only Jesus who will give me everything that I need. It's Jesus who is more important than food or clothes or shelter or all of those things. It's knowing God through Jesus. Because any food that we have in this life, any bread, any luxurious food, the best cereal, the best porridge even, eventually we get hungry again. But the provision that comes from Jesus so completely satisfies us that Jesus says, whoever knows me and puts his trust or her trust in me will never thirst again or never be hungry again. And so we remember that as we pray this prayer. We pray, give us today our daily bread. It'd be great if particularly perhaps in your homes when you're giving thanks at lunchtime. And I hope you do give thanks whenever you have food because it's a great reminder that we depend on God. But perhaps in your families at lunchtime, you could both give thanks, but also pray in your families. Give us today our daily bread. Pray remembering that God provides for us every day and ask him to keep doing that. But also ask him to help us remember that we need one eye also on the kingdom of God, what he provides for us in Jesus.